10 days ago, the Fugging Honey Badgers were in first place, 27-12. A 6-1-4 run differential. Comfortable. They had separation. They had a 2-game cushion on the field. 10 days later, as of this morning, they are in fifth, 28-19. They have lost 7 of their last 10. They were swept 4 straight by the Huanca Wankers. The bottom of the human tier starts at their feet.
Storms don't knock.
They don't.
One day you're checking the forecast. The next day, your siding's in the neighbor's yard.
I'm not sure that metaphor survives inspection, but I take your point.
I'll find a better one by the second segment.
And there's been some movement on the roster side, too. We'll get to that. Welcome back to Foul Territory, where no perspectives are out of bounds. I'm Carla Streich, alongside color man Razor Shines. We are taping Tuesday, May 27th, looking at the ledger through Memorial Day weekend in World League Baseball. A lot of movement to get to.
Standings got shaken.
New name on top. Familiar name falling. And a bottom feeder that has decided it would rather not be one anymore. Let's walk the league from the top. Iron knob explosions. 6 in a row, 8-2 in their last 10. And they slide into first place for the first time all season. Andrew Harris may not have the quietest mascot in World League Baseball, but his team just might be, quietly, the best one.
Quietest team with the loudest pitching.
We'll get there. Knock 'em stiff slap daddies, 9-1 over their last 10 games, riding a 2-game winning streak and making whatever was happening last week look like it belonged to a different season. Holberg's lineup finally looking the way the scouting report said it should look.
9-1.
It's a lot.
It's everything.
The Rick Astley's 31 wins, still the most in World League Baseball, now sitting in third by percentage points. 2-8 over a stretch that didn't feel that bad while it was happening. Burris's crew is probably the only team in baseball that can lead the league in wins and somehow feel like they're being nudged toward the exit.
They're fine.
They're fine. Huanca Wankers, 4th at 29-19, dropped 3 in a row coming into the recording. Spaceship's slowing. Still cruising, but slowing. Nicaragua Crepe Wrappers, 8-2 in the last 10. Carpenter's group went from 1-7 to this in basically the time it took to order new uniforms. Fugging Honey Badgers. We'll spend some dedicated time on them in the team breakdowns.
Plenty to talk about there.
And the 2 CPU-managed clubs, Oak Ridge Nukes and Panama City Beach Hurricanes, continue their season-long residency at the bottom.
They're struggling to manage like human beings down there.
Carla/Jessica. We'll let that sit. Formally. Iron Knob 3015, 667. Knock 'em Stiff 3019, 612. The Astleys 3120, 608. Huanca 2919 at 604. Honey Badgers 2819 at 596. Nicaragua 2720, 574. All 6 human-managed teams within 100 points of each other.
The top 6 is all bunched up. It's tight up there.
And then the gap.
Then the gap.
Oak Ridge at 9-40, Panama City Beach at 7-39. 21 games back of the nearest human team.
That's not a gap, Carla.
What would you call it?
That's an envelope.
So we'll start with the Honey Badgers because the movement is what the movement is. First place to fifth in 10 days. 3-7 in the last 10. Swept 4 straight by Huanca from May 19th through May 23rd. Let's begin with the ball. Razor, what's the actual baseball story here?
Rotation, Carla. Rotation. The back end has gotten hit around. Drawbacks sitting on a 6-3-8. Moore's at 4-2-8. McCaskill, 4-6-6. 3 starters, all over 4. And when you give up runs at that clip, the games get loud quick.
Some of the relief arms are still excellent. Anderson sitting at a 101, Lancaster at 201. Mike Montgomery, 13 saves and 14 opportunities, which is among the best marks in the league.
Bullpen works. The closer is a weapon. They just can't seem to get him the ball with a lead.
Offense is fine, too, by most measures. Chili Davis is hitting .353 with a .455 on base. Jack Clark hitting .364. Dwight Evans is on a 10-game hit streak. Active, still going, right through this collapse.
Evans doesn't care what the scoreboard says. Guys in his own little bubble. That's a veteran thing.
Witt still at 296. The bats are working. It's the arms that aren't holding up.
So the baseball story is straightforward. Pitching. Full stop.
Which brings us to the not-quite-baseball story. Honey Badgers made some roster moves on May 17th. Bip Roberts, who was hitting .448 in limited appearances, released. Ramon Martinez, released. Joe McGrain re-signed, albeit demoted. Brooke Jacoby re-signed. According to team management, there were eligibility questions raised about a couple of the earlier roster moves. Everything had been approved by the commissioner's office at the time, and the Badgers moved quickly to square things up once those questions came to light.
Bill. Yeah.
So, administratively, it's settled.
Administratively, it's settled.
You want to say something about it?
I'm not going to litigate the paperwork. That's above my pay grade, and frankly, I couldn't follow it if I tried. What I can tell you is that in a clubhouse, and I spent a little time in a few of them, when these things happen, the whole club notices. The room talks. And I guarantee you right now there are players, guys on the Astleys, guys on the Slap Daddies, having a conversation over tape in the trainer's room, and they are using words that are a little warmer than eligibility questions.
There's been some chatter.
There's always chatter. That's the league. But you release a guy of that caliber in the middle of a skid, the other dugouts look up. That's just how competitive people are wired.
To be clear, the league office has signed off.
100%. No issue with any of that. The moves are clean, the protocol held, the commissioner is on record.
Jessica. Right.
Here's what I'll say, though, and this is the part people don't think about. Those guys in the Honey Badger clubhouse, the ones who weren't released, who weren't signed, who are just trying to take BP and get ready for a road trip. Their heads are now in the transaction log. They are not thinking about the 2-1 fastball from the lefty they're going to see Thursday. They are thinking about who's still on the plane. That stuff seeps in. I've seen it.
Hard to separate.
Very hard. And I think that shows up in a pitching staff before it shows up anywhere else. Because pitchers are already the most in their own heads. Hitters, you can kind of shake loose with an extra round of BP. A starter standing on the rubber? He is alone up there. He's got whatever he walked out with.
You're saying the 3-7 stretch.
I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if some of it is just arms. And some of it is the weight of the week. You can't measure that. But it's real.
That tracks.
And look, the Badgers are 596. They're still a plus team. This isn't a crisis. It's a stretch. But it's a stretch with some texture.
Montgomery, 13 for 14. That's the stabilizer.
Give him the ball with a lead, and most of this goes away.
New league leader. Iron Knob Explosions, 30-15. Hershiser, 0.97 ERA. 7-0, 2 shutouts, 9 quality starts in 9 tries, slugged .263 against. He leads the league in earned run average. He leads the league in winning percentage. He leads the league in quality start rate.
He's the best pitcher in World League Baseball right now.
Kevin Brown also exceptional. .273, 7-1, quietly second in innings.
Brown's a pro's pro.
And then Greg Maddux, who we have spent some time on across previous weeks. 302, 5, and 0. Opponent slugging .394 against. This is a young man who is sitting at a .607 back in April and has now pulled the season completely around.
Yep.
The Bly Levin piece is interesting. Back from the injured list after his quick stint. 2-3, 396. Veteran, 38 years old, watching a 23-year-old pass him on the rotation ladder.
That happens. That happens in every room I was ever in. You show up to camp, the kid's got new cleats, he's throwing 94, and you look around and you realize, yep, that's the job now. That's not you anymore.
Does it create tension?
Not usually. The vets in that position, most of them, they saw it coming a year before anyone else did. They're more at peace with it than the fans are.
Chuck Finley landed on the injured list on May 22nd, expected back June 17th. That's a 25-day absence.
That's a long one.
Team hasn't put out much beyond the standard notice. They're calling it general.
General?
General.
Hate to speculate, Carla. I really do. But 25 days for general is a little longer than most. Somebody knows something. I don't need to know what, but somebody knows. You want to wish him well.
On the lineup card, Andrew Harris continues to be a presence in the platoon role. Ricky Henderson has 22 stolen bases, which leads the league. Strawberry's still at 214, still a 145-pound version of what he's supposed to be.
He's going to find it.
That's your read.
He's going to find it. I'm not going to be the guy who counts Daryl Strawberry out in May.
Noted. Last Tuesday in the cold open, we floated out a nickname.
We did.
Surrender Daddies.
I remember.
9-1 over the following 10 games.
Back to Slap Daddies. The nickname did not survive the week.
Which brings us to the actual offense, because the whole point of the Slap Daddies was that they were going to hit. And they have continued to do so. Bobby Bonilla, 390 batting, 451 on base, 730 slugging, 1182 OPS. He is leading the league in batting average, in on base, in slugging, and therefore in OPS.
He's leading the league in every way you can lead.
Kevin Mitchell, 23 home runs, 53 RBI. Both of those lead the league, too.
Monster.
Fred McGriff, 981 OPS. Ruben Sierra, 7 triples, which leads the league. Pedro Guerrero, Paul O'Neill, Mitchell all hitting over 300. Top to bottom, this is maybe the best bat 1-8 offense in World League Baseball.
You look at that lineup, nobody pitches around anybody. Because if you pitch around Bonilla, you're walking into McGriff. You pitch around McGriff, you're walking into Mitchell. There's no relief in that order.
The bullpen has come around too. Todd Burns, 7 saves and 11 opportunities, which is an improvement from where he was sitting last week.
He got back on the bike.
And Steve Bedrosian was promoted to the active roster on May 17th. 2 innings, no runs.
So far, so good.
Holberg, the player, continues to be a solid contributor. Holberg, the manager, the numbers speak.
9-1, they speak.
Wanker's now at 29-19, fourth in percentage, lost 3 straight to close out the window, including dropping 2 of 3 to Iron Knob. Cone is back, 2-2-1 ERA, 3-1. David Cone walking back in the door has to feel like a rescue.
A healthy Cone is a different rotation.
Robin Yount leads the league in hits, 64. Batting 314. Kent Herbeck now at 17 home runs, second in the league, 578 slugging. Bo Jackson with 10 long balls and 19 stolen bases.
That team's fun to watch.
Chris Broyles put together a 12-game hit streak, which ended during the slide. Tied for second longest of the year at the time.
12 is 12. Doesn't matter when it ends. That's the body of work.
The bullpen has wobbled a touch. Smith 9 saves in 12 chances. 3 blown.
The spaceship's slowing a little.
You keep saying spaceship.
It's the right word.
Rick Astley's 31-20. That's still the most wins in the league. They have now slid to 3rd in winning percentage. The Astley's are a team that does absolutely everything reasonably well and seem to get the thinnest possible margin back from it.
That's Burris's ball club.
Scott Geraldt's 1.89 ERA, 6-0. Brian Smith, 7-3. Team leader in wins. Dennis Eckersley, 12 saves and 13 opportunities. Boggs at 2.88 with a 4.02 on base. Eric Davis, 38 runs, 14 home runs.
Nothing wrong with that team.
Rick Astley, 9 home runs, right in the top 10.
He brings energy.
Lou Whitaker is on the injured list until June 1st. That's meaningful. He was hitting 278 with a 405 on base. That on-base number is the one they'll miss.
You lose a 405 on base out of your two-hole, and the whole lineup reorganizes around it. You feel it.
That's the Astleys. And Nicaragua. 8-2 in the last 10. They were 1-7 before this stretch. Roger Clemens, 79 strikeouts, 3.39 ERA, 5-3. Strikeout leader in the league, Jim Acker, 6-0, winning percentage 1,000.
Clemens is Clemens.
Greg Olson, 10 saves in 11. Kirby Puckett, 302. 62 hits, 41 runs, 5-for-5 stealing.
That's the Puckett I remember.
Harold Baines at 320 with a 415 on base. 5 intentional walks, which also leads the league. Don Mattingly, 312. Kevin Seitzer, 313 with a 414 on base, and he is new on the leaderboards this week.
Rappers quietly got good.
Mark Langston, 510 ERA, which is down from the 591 we saw last week. Not a fixed situation yet, but it's at least not getting worse.
Step one with a guy in a bad patch is to stop getting worse. Step two is some other day.
That's Carpenter's group. 1-7 to 8-2. Something's working. Quick injured list tour. Chuck Finley, Iron Knob, return date June 17th. That's the meaty one.
25 days.
Lou Whitaker, Rick Astley's June 1st. Mark Gardner, Panama City Beach, May 29th. Fairly quiet otherwise.
That Finley date will get watched.
Moving on. Bold predictions, and before we do new ones, let's settle up.
Accountability.
Back in episode 4, I predicted Honey Badgers would release a starter before the end of April.
They released John Cerruti on April 26th.
Hit.
Solid hit.
Your prediction was Nicaragua would win a series against a 500 or better team.
And they did. Took 2 of 3 from the Astleys May 17th and 18th. Also got after Iron Knob earlier in the month.
Also a hit.
We're batting 1,000.
For now, new predictions, episode 8.
Go.
I'll say, one of the 6 human teams currently between 574 and 667 in win percentage will drop below 500 before the All-Star break.
Top to bottom, the human tier is bunched.
It is bunched. Something in there is going to get stretched.
Okay. My turn.
Yours.
First trade of the season. An actual interteam trade, 2 GMs on the phone. Happens before Memorial Day.
That's 3 days from now.
I know.
That's a very bold prediction.
I've seen the rosters. I've watched the week. Somebody is picking up the phone. Somebody already has. I just don't know who.
You want to amend that?
Number.
All right. For the record, we have a call. Mel, you're on foul territory.
Carla, Razor. Great episode so far. Great work today.
Mel, how are you?
I am working from notes as usual. Taxes are due, which is a separate issue we can leave alone. But I have my baseball notes in order, Carla, I promise you.
What do you have for us, Mel?
Oral Hershiser.
The Cy Young favorite as of this morning.
I want to say something about Orel Hershiser that I don't think has gotten its due. I brought it up back in, I think it was episode 3. And I don't blame anyone for where the conversation went that day. It was a busy show, but I've been following this and I have the numbers in front of me. Orel Hershiser has pitched for a team that, for most of the first month and a half of the season, has given him about the 4th worst run support in World League Baseball. I track this, week by week. I have a yellow pad and I have it here week by week.
Go on.
He went 6-0 at one point while his team was averaging fewer than 4 runs for him on the nights he started. Now, I want to say that out loud. That is a man pitching on a tightrope. Because the moment his team gave up more than 2 or 3 runs, he was in a close game. Every time. Every start. That puts a different kind of pressure on a pitcher than what the raw numbers suggest.
It's a pitcher's dual frame of mind.
It is, Carla, and I don't think the broader audience understands that. When you see a 1.11 ERA or in his case now 097, you think that's brilliance. And it is. But brilliance without margin is a different kind of brilliance than brilliance with a multi-run cushion. When Scott Geraldt's over on the Astleys has 6.8 runs a start to work with, that's a different occupation.
It is different. That's absolutely right.
So my point is not to say that anyone here on the show has downplayed Hershiser. That's not what I'm saying. My point is that when the Baseball Writers of America voters, at the end of the year, sit down with the candidates, I want on record that Oral Hershiser did this without the lineup behind him. That's all. 6-0 at the time I was tracking it. Very little support. And he kept putting zeros on the board, because that was the game he was asked to pitch.
Thank you, Mel.
It's a good point, Mel. I also want to add something. At some point, you stop calling it run support, and you just start calling it what it is, which is, that's a man doing his job alone. That's how you describe it. You describe it by what he did, not by what he had.
That's well put, Razor.
Well, you made it easy to say.
I appreciate that.
We appreciate you, Mel. Good stretch of calls recently.
Thank you, Carla. I've enjoyed following.
Good. Now you can help finish our taxes. They were due last week.
She is correct about that.
Good luck with all that, Mel.
I'm going to get off the line. It has been, as always, a pleasure. I'll be listening.
We'll be here, Mel.
Good day, folks.
Mel Kowalski, everyone.
That man has been earning his yellow pad all season.
He has. And if you out there, if you are a listener who has been thinking about picking up the phone, Mel did, and it worked out for him.
Lines open.
Look forward to hearing from you. That is episode 8, New Leader in the Iron Knob Explosions, a collapse and a comeback in the middle. Mel got his moment. Next week, the bold predictions ledger gets revisited. The bold predictions may be giving way to the trade watch window pretty soon, and we'll see who picked up the phone.
And who didn't.
For Razor Shines, I'm Carla Streich. This has been Foul Territory.
Zero credentials.
Zero apologies.